This is the Happy Hour Network.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
Boy, it could not have been a rougher start to tonight's show. I think before I even start the rant, we're going to go with one of our sponsors, Audible.com. We want to thank you for all the good work that we do together. We're going to play this quick mid-roll. I'll go into a rant, and then we'll take it from there.
Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/latenightparents and choose from over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/latenightparents. That's audibletrial.com/latenightparents and get started today. Why Audible? Audible content includes more than 180,000 audio programs from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. That's audibletrials.com/latenightparents.
I want to thank our friends, good friends at Audible. This is Ted Hicks at Late Night Parent Radio. You can find us so many different ways. Guys, I want to apologize for that rough start. You know, when you do have a sound engineer and you do have a producer, you would like to think that, that everything is checked, but usually sometimes that just doesn't happen. But you can catch us, latenightparent.com. Go to the site, go to the portal, check us out, listen to us, read what's up there. We always have the latest and greatest blogs up there, talking about parenting, technology, education, doing little product reviews, and every once in a while we talk sports. We won't be talking sports tonight, but what are some other ways? You can catch us on Twitter, twitter.com, Late Night Parent, or you can follow me if you dare to. If you're tough enough and you can handle my tweets, I'm Real Ted Hicks on Twitter. Find us on facebook.com/latenightparents. You can listen to us on SoundCloud and iTunes and Spreaker and Mixcloud. But want to thank our radio partners. They are the best radio partners in the world. Want to say thank you to You and I Are One Radio. Want to say thank you to Life Improvement Radio. Of course, Jimagination Unlimited Network. Want to say thank you to I-95 Sports. Want to say thank you to NGSC Sports. No, we're not a sports show, but we do get a little burn on some sports stations. And NGSC Sports powers us on the iHeartRadio app. Want to thank our good friends at FSC Radio out in Philly. Our friends over there by the pond, the UK, XRP Radio. What's up to Tiz Shearer? Want to thank all of you guys. Hope I didn't leave anyone out. Our good friends, Alicia Stern, as always, her and I are texting back and forth. Shout out to 247. Going back and forth, talking about guests and everything else like that. There's so much to cover, but we have someone in the queue right now. I want to be cognizant of that this person is in the queue. But I do want to mention that we had a great week, as always, blessed, had a great week, always enjoying ourselves, enjoyed myself at Star Wars we'll talk with Star Wars with our two guests for tonight. First in the queue is my good friend and yours, Rebecca Berman. Rebecca and I have been talking on and off for months, sending tweets back and forth is talking. But we've chatted briefly, talking about Rebecca coming on LNP, the LNP show. I like to say TED Talks on LNP. Really excited to have her up in the queue. She's coming on in the next 30 seconds. I don't know where else to go. We got so much to talk about. Want to thank our sponsor. Well, the people are not quote-unquote our sponsors, but folks that are in our corner. Want to thank the good friends at the WWE Network. Want to thank one of these wonderful authors has just sent me a book on sexual addictions. We're going to have them on in 2016. This is our next to last show. I'm going to stop talking. I'll decrease, and I'm going to allow my guest to increase because she's none other than Rebecca Berman. Rebecca, how you doing?
Good. How are you tonight?
Pretty good. I'm charged up. I had tech difficulties, and it's pretty hard because I've been in IT for 20 years, and I'm having technical difficulties.
Oh, no. I think it's something that never ends.
It really doesn't. It really doesn't. But less about me, more about you, because the one special thing I say about Late Night Parent is I usually, at certain times, I turn my mic off. Because the guest is the star of the show, and I want to learn about the cooler. I want to learn about what has inspired you. But before we do anything, I want to welcome you. Thank you for joining us. You took the time out of your evening. You could be doing anything. You could be at the mall right now, you know, doing some last-second shopping with the rest of the crazy people out there.
Yes. Exactly. But thank you so much for having me on tonight.
No problem.
You know, as I like to say, because my show's called The Cooler, this is very cool.
So tell our listeners about you, your inspiration, The Cooler, what's on the horizon for 2016. I'm hitting the mute button, and there you go.
Okay. So a little bit about me. I've done a lot of lifestyle reporting, and I love listening to people's stories and adding a little bit of humor into my stories that I report on. And I was blogging for a long time and still do, and I'm passionate about food amongst many other topics. But that was kind of how I got my start. And from all the lifestyle reporting I was doing, I realized that I really wanted to have my own interview show. And there is the birth of The Cooler. So The Cooler is a colossal cooler. It's kind of like my sidekick, my shtick, so to speak.
Okay.
And I pull different unpredictable things out of the cooler as I'm talking to my guests. They can be improvisational. They can be promotional as it relates to The Cooler. But in addition, I always like to keep a little sense of humor in them. So the colossal cooler is like the size of a coffee table. It's something I can sit on. We can do yoga on. We can do, you know, cook a meal on it. So it is a lot of fun, and a lot of different things can come out of it. And it's just kind of like another, you know, a sidekick like any other kind of talk show. But the cooler allows me to continue to talk to different guests and hear their story, and have an element of fun. So we are gearing up to make it, you know, to get on national TV for 2016, and we're very excited about it. And in the meantime, we've been doing a couple of podcasts. So, you know, we can still get our word out there about The Cooler.
Hey, Rebecca, I got to jump in here and say, where can I find the podcast?
Oh, certainly. You can reach me at at Twitter, Rebecca Berman TV. You can reach me on Instagram, Rebecca.Berman. You can reach me on Facebook, Rebecca Berman TV. You can reach me at my website, RebeccaBermanTV.com. And there you can find all of my podcasts and all of the upcoming information about my national TV show.
So it's a national show that you're going to be doing. I know, filmed in Westchester, New York?
Well, it's really one of these kinds of things that are make the element of surprise with the cooler. It is filmed kind of all over the New York tri-state area, but it might even be traveling. And the beauty about the cooler is it gets a little bit of a reality into the show, because you can do it in a mall. You can be at the cooler on the show in the mall. You can be in a hotel. You can be in a restaurant. You can be in a bakery. You could literally be anywhere with the cooler, talking to people and hearing their story and entertaining the audience. So we like to say it has a little bit of reality in it, in addition to the scripted, you know, regular chatting and the regular interview. I'd like to say it's New York tri-state based to begin, but we'll see where it takes us.
Got you. I'm going to say this much. If you have that New York flow that I notice that you do, it's going to transcend wherever you go. So that's going to be great about it.
Yes, I agree. It is a novelty idea. Something no one else is doing.
That really is. So I gotta throw something out here, because
This
is the cooler. This is Late Night Parent. We're talking about shows that are on the horizon for 2016.
Yes.
I gotta go to politics. Want to go to politics?
I you can give it a whirl. We'll see where I go with it.
All right. I'm just gonna throw out here.
Okay.
Tell me your thoughts about the comment that was made, that the disgusting comment that was made by one Donald Trump, and I'm going to stop, because you're going to say which disgusting comment that was made.
Well, if you're referring to the one that they kept referring to on the news in the last 24 hours, I still have yet to hear what the comment is he made about Hillary in her last campaign event against Obama. They keep referring to it, but they never say what it is that Trump said.
Yes. Okay.
And do you know what it is that he said, or?
Is
it only me who's in the dark?
No, well, kind of on this one. He used a certain word that was inappropriate,
right?
About Hillary. And I was just, you know, kind of sitting there saying, okay, when does this reality show stop?
Right. He's so out there, and, you know, just like when you're looking at politicians, he doesn't resemble one. He resembles, you know, certainly an outspoken CEO of a company. He, you know, resembles an outspoken individual with a huge following. But he doesn't strike me as the person I want to look up to politically. And, you know, that's just, again, my opinion. I'm not a very political person. I don't get that involved. As you can see, I didn't even know what the thing is that he said.
Right.
I really didn't dig further to figure out what it was. But, you know, I do understand his appeal to the people out there that are just so fed up with the world, and they always are looking to blame people for problems, and they don't see the light and understand that, you know, you can control your own destiny. And he speaks to all of those people that don't feel they can control their own destiny and like to blame things on other people. And there's always a population of people like that out there. I'm just not from that world. So politically, that doesn't help me, if you get what I mean.
I got what you mean, and I'm totally with you on that one. I've got to change it up a little bit. I'm going to say to you something I tweeted out to you a few minutes ago. Am I coming through clear or no?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I just didn't read the tweet.
Okay. What I tweeted you was, could you tell me your best Christmas present that you've ever received?
Oh, gosh. Well, it's kind of, yeah, Christmas, I kind of celebrate it. I kind of don't. But if I'm to think of one that I've ever received, you know, I have a sister-in-law who's Italian, and she celebrates Christmas. And I would say just sharing Christmas with her and her mom over the years was a really special Christmas present, because it is not, I wasn't brought up celebrating Christmas. It's not something I normally have done in my life. So I think that's my present, probably the best present I've ever gotten, spending time with family who does celebrate Christmas. And it is, you know, a really special day and holiday, and it's a beautiful thing to be a part of.
See, and that's the trick in my question, Rebecca, was, you know, a lot of people would think it's something specific. It's
right,
like
I got a sweater. Well, you know, it could be that. I will say, you know, you get to a certain point, and I think material things, you know,
they don't matter.
They matter, but they don't matter. It's like, oh, what was the best gift you ever got? I don't know what best gift I ever got. You know, I think my life has gone much further than just like a material gift.
Right. It's so funny because I kind of, you know, the older I get, I'm in my mid-40s now, and I kind of sit there and say, okay, I look at my kids and I say, okay, when they were younger, Christmas was about 5 minutes.
Right, right.
They're sitting there, they're tearing apart the gift wrapping paper and everything else like that. And once they you know, receive the present, and then I don't want to say 30 days later is broken, but
but it is.
You know,
if I do go back in time, I will tell you, I once got a Barbie dream house for the holidays, and I will say I loved that Barbie dream house. It had the elevator, and it had the three different floors and the furniture. And Barbie would sit on the couch. I mean, that, you know, was like it for me.
I remember when I was a kid, and I was received a train set.
Uh-huh.
And we were sitting there, my father and I, and we're sitting there and building the train. No, it wasn't a Lionel train set. So everyone listening, no, it wasn't some $10,000 train set. No. It was something you get out of Toys R Us.
Wait, was it Thomas the Tank?
No, it wasn't that. But that's kind of, you know, I kind of think back to things like that. And as I get older, I'm like, oh, it's so different, because right now, like, my wife and I, she's like, oh, what do you want for Christmas? And I was like, nothing material at all. And I kind of get that strange look.
Right.
Because I'm serious.
Well, it's like, you know, you can't remember what the things are that you got. So I feel like, you know, it's always fun to get presents. Everyone loves that. But, you know, when you think about it, like, just briefly, you're like, I don't know, maybe I got a really nice bracelet I liked. But when you think of something like a time in your life, and I like what you and I are sitting here chatting about it, I'm like, that Barbie dream house was just really everything.
Oh, my goodness. So, Rebecca, tell me, either within your podcast or within your first season, what type of stars, what level of stars are you looking to have on your show?
Oh, well, you know, I will say, first of all, it's really, and you know, interviewing people, it's such a better interview when the person is used to being, you know, in some form of celebrity-ness, where they're used to being out there and performing in some way, shape, or form, because they are a better person to interview. But on the flip side of that, I think the best interviews are people who have interesting stories to tell. And whether it be a celebrity, whether it be a chef, whether it be someone who wrote a book, whether it would be, you know, a spiritual thinker, whether it would be, you know, a woman who's made great breakthroughs just because I'm a woman, you know, a woman who's made great breakthroughs in her career. I love all of that kind of, and I love any type of singer, anyone who can sing. I love people who can sing, love people who are comedians. You know, those are all the different categories that, you know, I really get excited about interviewing. But I got to tell you, I can find a story in just about anyone. And I, you know, I enjoy it. So it's just like part of my nature. It's not even something I have to work at. I hope that kind of answers your question.
Oh, it does. I do have one more professional question to ask you, but I just want to let everyone know you're talking to Rebecca Berman. This is Late Night Parent. You can find her on Rebecca Berman TV.
.com.
Live.com, or you can follow her on Twitter, Rebecca Berman TV, or the public figure. I mean, I did a quick search, and I pulled your name on Facebook, Rebecca.
Yeah.
Rebecca Berman, public figure. I was like, no, well, you know what? That's cool.
The thing is, they don't give you many options. I think you can either click off entertainer or public figure. I think when I first did it on Facebook, I wrote public figure. But now that was probably, you know, a year and a half ago. And I really do need to switch it because I think it's more entertainer than public figure.
Got you.
But it's kind of comical. So, everyone makes fun of me. So it's a good reason to, you know.
That's great. So tell me this much. Two things.
Yeah.
The first thing I'm going to ask you is, where are you located? So you're going to be doing shows, I know nationally, but do you see that you're going to
be doing shows in the five
boroughs?
I am based out of Westchester, but
okay.
I do a lot of, like, one of the episodes we filmed for the TV show, The Cooler, we filmed in Ridgewood, Queens. So, you know, I definitely get around the boroughs, so to speak. So,
okay, great.
You never know where I might turn up with my cooler.
When are you coming to Long Island?
We haven't gotten there yet, but we might.
When you come out to Long Island, you let me know because I'm right here in Uniondale, Long Island, not far from the Nassau Coliseum. But question I have for you is, tell me about the time when you had to carry an interview. How tough was it? You know, when you get that person that you're interviewing and they just lock up.
Yep.
And they're just like, yes or no. And you're
right.
Oh, my God.
Well, I got to tell you, I actually did a little bit on somebody's TV show thing. And I was the person they were interviewing. And it was like a little food segment. And I got to tell you, they didn't know anything. Like, they didn't know what to ask me or how to handle anything. I just started improvisationalizing the food I was doing. And I was making up stuff as I was going along. And I think that probably was my toughest interview, even though somebody was interviewing me, because I really felt I had to carry it. I had to turn it into a whole segment. And that's been my biggest challenge, that interview, because I don't know what happened with the host. They were kind of sick that day. It seemed like they didn't really know what they should be talking about, and I just carried the whole interview. I love doing improv, and I love making stuff up. So those are my fortes. So I literally could be talking to someone who has nothing to say, and I'll turn it into like a whole funny bit.
I think I have a caller. I'm
going to
see if I can bring him on, okay?
Sure.
Good evening. This is Late Night Parent Radio. I have Rebecca Berman on the line. Is this a caller? You have a question?
Oh, this is Stacy Face, just calling in.
Hey, Stacy, how you doing? Okay, you're in the queue, all right? Thanks again. Hold on. Rebecca, I got to say, number one, I love your energy. I want to see the cooler. I want you to definitely come back on.
And if there's any
way we can help cross-promote or anything that you would need, you say so, because – this is great. Alicia, as usual, Miss Stern is dead on because she's a great person.
She's awesome.
She is really awesome. And I got to tell you,
deal.
She is really, I mean, oh my goodness, she really is. She's a great
she
person.
She is the real
You're
deal. I love her. I got it's there's a she's amazing. Her and I are so on the same plane. It's not even funny. Or she
that,
and I.
That is great. So, I guess I want to say number one. For the holiday season, once you have a happy holiday season, because, you know, certain people celebrate Christmas and they celebrate
yes.
Kwanzaa and Hanukkah.
Yes.
And
yes.
I just
yes.
want to say the happy holidays.
Thank
and
you.
All the best with you and your family, that you enjoy the time together. And I don't need to tell you, it's not about materialistic items or anything else like that.
Yes.
Because, I mean, you're there. You're there and you already know. So, tell us the best ways to get in contact with you, plug
sure.
your show. Let's
sure.
All the
well, I'll just, you know, repeat all of my stuff. You can follow me on all of my social media sites to find out when the show will be airing, not only the podcast, but the national television show, which we're, you know, in the process of getting going on TV to hit in 2016, the cooler. So you can follow me at Twitter at Rebecca Berman TV. You can follow me on my website, RebeccaBermanTV.com. You can follow me on Facebook, Rebecca Berman TV, and Instagram, Rebecca.Berman.
Rebecca, I want to give you a round of applause.
Okay. It was great talking to you. And
oh,
wishing you the
goodness.
Best holiday.
Same here. All the best. And well, a little late, a little slow. I told you it was coming. I'm like, okay, cue up the audience. Come on. Rebecca,
right,
thanks so much.
Care.
Okay.
All right, you too.
All right,
take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Rebecca Berman, our good friends at Rebecca Berman TV, talking about The Cooler, which is coming. Well, it's not. It's a podcast. I'm guessing they're doing some internet streaming. But she's looking to take the show nationally. And she talks fashion, she talks news, politics. As you can see, I had to bring up Donald Trump and what he mentioned to or about Hillary Clinton within the last 24 hours. You know, was it appropriate? Was it inappropriate? What do you think? I don't know. But we have another guest in the queue. Stacey Vanderbilt, we're going to bring her on right after this mid-promo, okay?
Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/latenightparents and choose from over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/latenightparents. That's audibletrial.com/latenightparents and get started today. Why Audible? Audible content includes more than 180,000 audio programs from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. That's audibletrial.com/latenightparents.
And as we start, the phone is ringing. I can't pick up the phone, but I tell you this much, if you guys go to audible.com/latenightparents, then you can download your audiobooks and all the above. But as for calling me, not during 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Wednesday nights, okay? Oh, my goodness. So with that being said, we're going to go to our next guest. But just before we go to our next guest, we just want to bring a brief intro. She's not only a good friend of a good friend of mine, but she's a good person, and she has her own podcast, which I'm hoping and praying and keeping my fingers crossed that not only does the show come back next month, but that it does morph into its own TV show. And that show is none other than The Filthy Dish. It's not your G-rated show like Late Night Parents, where we sit here and talk about, you know, baking cookies and everything else like that. No, 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 no. It's going to give you the real. And there's nothing wrong with receiving the real. I'll tell you that much. So it's The Filthy Dish. The podcasts are great. They're raw. They're edgy. All of the above. But its co-host is, I would say, just the opposite. But we're going to bring on Stacey Vanderbilt, because she's a media personality. She's going to join us to talk about when the show is returning to the airways. We're going to talk a little celebrity drama. We might even talk a little R. Kelly, Steve Harvey, all the above. So with that, I'm going to bring on Miss Stacey Face herself. Stacey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty, pretty darn good.
That was such an awesome introduction. I was like, "Woo, thank you."
Oh,
I'm having blessing over here.
I'm saving the applause for you at the end, but I had to bring you on. A good friend of mine always told me, give someone that intro that they feel like they're about to, I don't know, they're about to appear on some late night show on NBC or ABC or CBS. And, you know, in my mind, this is my, you know, late night show. This is Late Night Parents. But I thank you for taking the time out and revising your schedule somewhat to agree to come on the show, because I tell you, I love the podcast. I can't speak any more highly of my good friend, H5, who him and I go, we go back. We go back to the corporate days. The days, and I'm still in that corporate mess, but I'm very close to getting on out. I feel like Harry Tubman. But so tell me, Stacey, tell our listeners about yourself. Tell us about your show. And as you know, with Late Night Parents, is our guests are the stars of the show. I'm just a moderator. I just hold things together and tie things, you know, this one to that one. But what's going on with you? How are you, and how's life, and what's happening in 2016?
Well, I'm doing good. My name is Stacey, for those that might not have heard, and I am a co-host on the podcast The Filthy Dish. We are a no-holds-barred podcast where we talk about, you know, things that are going on in the celebrity world, in the world in general. You know, we're kind of all over and have our hands in all kinds of dishes, if you will. And we have taken a little break because we are working on some really big things in my Drake voice as far as making some changes to the format and whatnot. So we were hoping to come back better than ever, so to speak. So, and, you know, we're very excited about that in 2016. But yeah, right now I'm just in holiday mode, packing because going out of town tomorrow. So that's going to be fun. Traveling on Christmas Eve, so we'll be going through that rat race, but I'm looking forward to it.
Big question. Are you guys flying or are you guys driving?
Flying. No, we're not
good
driving.
Good answer. I got
to
tell you,
during the
Thanksgiving break, that Wednesday, just before Thanksgiving, which is the worst day to be out on the highway. Don't you know my wife and me and the kids out on the highway? And I was cursing, swearing, doing all the above in my mind, not to her or anything like that, but in my I was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding? So that's why I wanted to know that. Well, Stace, you guys, the Filthy Dish, you guys always talk about the latest and greatest in social media, because I always follow you, whether it's through the Jimagination Unlimited Network Facebook page or through the Twitter accounts, the TFD Twitter account. I've got to say this. 2 days ago, I saw something on social media, and I clicked on it. And it was a picture of R. Kelly. Mm-hmm. And I said, here we go again. What in the world is this now? Because when you're trending, 99% of the times, it's not for something good.
Right.
And I saw him walk off a show, walk off a live interview for the Huffington Post, HuffPost Live. And I was like, and I saw the interviewer, I think her name is Carolyn Tarani. I'm not sure of her name, but she was an English interviewer, and she was asking questions about R. Kelly, his 13th album,
mm-hmm.
13th album, and stated that, you know, is maybe there a question came up about the support or the lack of support. And she mentioned maybe that's due to the fact of the accusations and, you know, the videotape and things that happened in the past, and he became flustered about it. I want to ask you, from your point of view, if you were able to sit in her shoes, would you have conducted that interview the same way? Would you have done anything differently? What's your thoughts on that?
I would have done it differently because, you know, one thing I know, they want ratings, so of course they're going to bring that up. Whenever you have a hashtag going on Twitter, every playground bully is going to come on Twitter and say every negative thing that they can think of. So you're going to have that, alongside actual fans that really want to interact with their favorite artist. But yeah, I would have definitely tried to spin it a different way. It seemed like she got flustered as well and started trying to talk over him and make her point. And then, you know, he wasn't backing down. And so she was getting, you know, a little unraveled, and it was obvious, and he took it, you know, was able to just, you know, end the interview because he has the right to not want to, you know, deal with, if he doesn't want to answer those questions related to that, which is, you know, obviously it was about his album, not about his personal life, but that's always going to come up, obviously, when you're a star and you had some kind of personal drama, and that's putting it very, very lightly for him.
Right.
But I would have maybe backed off. I would have backed off and said, okay, well, we must go, da, 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 you know, and keep the interview going, because then you lose, if the person walks out, then you're just, you're done. you have to try to keep the person engaged. I feel like that's part of your job as an interviewer. You need to, you know, do your research on the person as well. You know, try to ask them the questions, all the questions, but if they don't want to answer those, then you have to try to find other ways to ask things, and instead of trying to argue with them. It was almost like she was arguing with them. So that was part of what made it funny to watch, because it was like, oh, wow, she's getting upset with them too.
She seemed like she was ready to tussle with him. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I'm not
backing down.
I'm going to ask these questions, and you're going to answer them. And I was like, okay, calm down. That's not how this works. When you started asking her about if she gets drunk, and does she drink, and does she get drunk, and is she falling all over the place, and doesn't know who, except not knowing where she is, and she was like, I don't understand this line of questioning. And he was like, exactly what I said. I understand your line of questioning about my personal life. That was funny.
There's two things here I want to talk about. One, he mentioned the lack of support. He sold 54 million albums. What lack of support? And I couldn't stop laughing when he said, I'm about to leave and go to McDonald's and go get a McRib. And hopefully they're selling it right now.
Yes, he's silly. But, you know, I never was a big R. Kelly fan to begin with. And then once the Faith came out. I know that was a long time ago because it was like my freshman year in college, but and I won't say what year that was. But it was like, you know, the tape came out and then the allegations, and then it was just like a flood of all this stuff. And I was like, oh, man, this dude has a problem. And then I didn't even know at the time until then that he had married Aaliyah. She was 14 and he was 28. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, he has a problem. I was like, okay, that's not, you know, this is not just some, you know, mistake where he just didn't know that the girl was underage or whatever. This guy knows what he's doing and not good at all. And he needed to be properly, I feel like he just got off with a slap on the wrist. He never even was prosecuted or, you know, he didn't get convicted of anything. And I thought that was pretty foul. And then he went on to make music for a long time. I mean, he came out with multiple albums. And people continue to support him. And I was like, what? This guy is like, you know, when you listen to what he's singing about, it's like, wonder what he's visioning when he's singing these lyrics. It's like, oh, I can't really.
My issue is, number one, he is just the first superstar to hurt the other women. There's a disgusting line up here, you know, from Jerry Lee Lewis to Chris Brown, entertainers or directors such as, like, Woody Allen. They've all done damage to young women. And, you know, for the most part, they've all, since they have a craft or they have a talent, they're able to continue practicing that craft.
It kind of shows, you know, men, you know, and it shows that how, you know, women's rights still aren't where they should be, honestly, because it's like, wow, this none of those guys should be, you know, still praised and things for their accomplishments. It's like, okay, so you're, you know, you do terrible things on your to people and women, and women in particular, and you're still being celebrated as this great person. It's like,
right. It's kind of crazy.
So it's sad at the same time. And, but it is, it does seem a little lopsided as to who they go after as far as bringing up past incidents. You know, it seems like certain people will, you know, they can do stuff and nobody will ever bring it up again. You have to, like, hear about it or see it in an article, and you're like, what, they did that? You have to, like, go back and research that they had done something years ago. Like, because it would just kind of be mentioned, but not that it won't keep getting dragged up in, you know, in interviews or something if they choose to do an interview. So it's a little, you know, strange how that works as well. But he has to know. That's what I was also thinking. I was like, he has to know that he was opening himself up for that. Like, I know he was thinking he was just going to come and I was like, I know he doesn't think he's just going to sit there and they're just going to ask him about the album. Like, you know, like, you know, they're going to bring it up. So he needed to either talk to somebody about it and say, hey, do not bring up anything about the allegations or the, you know, or, you know, my court, you know, my depositions or whatever he did at the time. And, you know, just leave that part out of it. Like, he needed to put that in the contract or something before he even sat on the couch, because he had to know that was coming. People are going to bring it up. But it kind of resurfaced, like a lot of things. Like, kind of like with Bill Cosby. Like, he was able to keep his dirt under the rug for a while until one person mentioned it, and then just, like, spread like wildfire. And then all of a sudden everyone comes out, and it's been a big mess ever since. But it was after R. Kelly was on the Soul Train Awards. And so it was that's another, you know, heavy tweeting. People are tweeting about it and about who's on it and what's going on. So that draws a lot of attention. And so somebody mentioned, why is this guy being celebrated So they let him do like a little kind of a mini concert. Like he did a few songs and everybody's dancing. And because he makes good music, I know, but it's just like, so that's a bad taste in your mouth. But somebody said, why are they celebrating this guy? He's a pedophile. And then it just blew right back up again. So it's like it happened yesterday when it happened more than 10 years ago. That's the thing, because it was like he was never convicted, but we don't know. He could be like a Jared or something and still doing the stuff.
Is there a level, Stacey, of ignorance on behalf of the people that attend those type of concerts or his concerts or that still listen to his music? Everyone knows. And especially if you could say, oh, hey, I got a daughter, or hey, I got a niece, would you really want your niece left with him?
Right. No. Of course they wouldn't, but they're not thinking it like that. They're like, I'm just here because the guy's a singer. I don't care about his personal life, even though it might possibly be scarring some young child for the rest of her life. But, they're trying to keep it separate. Like, oh, they just listen to the music. I'm like, yeah, but
I did.
It's all video. You can't get any clearer than that.
We're talking about something else. Tell me, we can't give him any more time. It just baffles me about him just still being around and him just walking around like, hey, everything's good.
I'll never forget. He was on BET, and they were interviewing him. It was about maybe 6 or 7 years ago, and the interviewer was just like, okay, you know, since you've been able to kind of get back on your feet, it was like after the allegations had kind of been starting to sizzle out, he had released another album or so, and so I was like, I mean, just to avoid any more, you know, incidences like that, will you stay away from teenage girls? Like, because you don't want to even put yourself in that position, right? And he was like, he paused for a second, and he goes, well, when you say teenager, what are we talking here? What age are we talking here? And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, he has a problem. That's the answer of somebody that is not getting help.
No,
he has a problem. Not good. I'm like, what do you mean, what age? Any age ending in teen? Because he was like, because you know, 18 is an adult. No, sir.
Hey, I got two other questions to ask you. One, what has been, number one, like my first guess, I wasn't sure if they celebrated Christmas or not. So my question to you is, what was the best gift that you've ever received?
I think a lot of pretty good gifts. I'm trying to think, because mostly when I was a kid, that's when I was getting more gifts. You know, it's like as you get older, like, here's a gift card. Let me see. I would say when I got the Barbie house and the convertible, that was my. I'm a big Barbie fan, and I still have Barbie, so I'll admit. When I got the Barbie house and her car, pink convertible, I was in heaven.
Hey, if this was the Filthy Dish right now, if we were on the Filthy Dish right now, and I said to you, and of course I'm playing the role of H5, and I would say, Stacey, there were 6.2 million people that watched the beauty pageant on Sunday, and after the Steve Harvey gaffe, there were 6.3 million people that tweeted about it.
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal? Did Steve Harvey hit a grand slam? Because I'm hearing about some multi-year deal he signed. What's your take on that?
That was a ploy to get people to watch the Miss Universe pageant again. I'm like, who's watching that? I was like, I didn't even know it was on. It was like, I didn't even know it was on until the next day when they said, oh, my gosh, Steve Harvey announced the wrong winner, and they had to snatch the crown off of one girl's head and put it on the other one. I'm like, what? So that's the only reason that interested in it. So he did the right thing by getting people back interested in it.
That's
probably falling off.
Oh, my goodness. I got to say this much. You know, Steve, he does it from Family Feud to his radio show to the talk show. I didn't take a look at the screenshot of the cue card where it said, you know, the winner or whatever the case is. But I'm like, all right. I think it was a heck of a media ploy. I'm probably wrong about it.
Yeah. I always have a conspiracy theory about everything, so I'm like, hey, we just pulled it from Donald Trump, so they already were missing the Trump factor of it as far as the money.
Yes.
So they're like, how can we get people to be back interested in this, because we're not going to have the money to advertise it, because I sure didn't see any commercials about it, or like, hey, this ad is coming on.
Nothing.
Nothing, no banner on Yahoo, nothing. I was like, well,
nothing.
I didn't know this was on. So they had to do something. And, hey, Steve Harvey brought it on back with his bumbling self. But, you know, hey, he's doing his thing. I can't be mad at him.
No. So
it was like, oh, man. It was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I read this wrong. She was celebrating.
He said, I got to apologize about something. I said, uh-oh.
Oh, goodness. So, yeah. It was pretty interesting.
Oh, my
goodness. So I'm sure more people will be tuned in next year. How about that?
Definitely.
So, let's keep an eye on that.
So tell me this. Tell me, you talked at the beginning, at the onset of this interview about format changes. What's going to be different about The Filthy Dish for season two? Because I like the format for season one.
I think we're going to incorporate some more video. So it might. So it'll be a little more interactive. So okay, but I'm just gonna leave it at that because
okay.
I don't know all the technical
okay.
stuff, but it will involve more video.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
definitely.
We'll be able
but
to
you
see
still
us as well as here, so I can't do my podcast in my pajamas anymore. But
Got you.
Unless we have pajama day or something, that'll be up to H5. But.
So you guys are going to be doing some live streaming also then?
Yes, that's the...
Okay,
that's
great. Great. Well, I just want to make sure, keep the show edgy, keep the show... I know you're going to make some enhancements to it, but keep that edge to it because I tell you, not only either when I get to listen live, but when I listen to the podcast that downloads directly to my iPhone, and I'm like, boom, a new show just came in. Okay, great. You got to keep it because it's so fresh. And I like it because I'm going to say, for me, it's unique. It's unique because these are people I know that are funny as can be, that are ripping apart these storylines. And you're never lacking for entertainment. You're never lacking for the storylines. You're never lacking for material. So keep it that way for 2016. Really, really, really excited for you guys to come back online. Tell us the best ways to get in contact with you.
On Twitter at StacyFace, which Stacy spelled STACIE. I have a little different spelling, and then face like your face. And I and then we're on at The Filthy Dish as our Twitter page, and then we're on Facebook, The Filthy Dish.
Got to give you a round of applause. Now you know the last time I said a round of applause to the previous guest, it didn't happen. It happened like 10 seconds later. I was just like, okay.
Oh, you're coming. I promise. Cheer applause is on the way.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Happy Kwanzaa. And have a safe trip.
Thank you. Definitely want to get you back on
in 2016. And looking forward to hearing the show.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll be tuning in. How's it going?
All right. Thank you, Stacey.
All right.
And that was Stacey Vanderbilt. So we're getting ready to wrap up. We got one show left prior to the end of the year. I want to say thank you to Robin Berman, Stacey Vanderbilt. We're going to talk a little internet streaming next week. Got a couple of guests on. We're going to talk with, I think we might do a two-hour show next week. I think so. Just to end off the year right. I want to thank everyone that's listened. Thank you for our overall support, and we say good night.